In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, a very special blessing is revealed. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church that met in the city of Rome, and he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." What a marvelous blessing that is. It's available to those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. We're blessed, and that particular principle is illustrated many times in the scriptures. And at the present time, we're studying from the book of Genesis to show how that particular book indicates that all things work together for good in the life of Joseph. Now, this evening, we want to concentrate for a little while on the information that's revealed in Genesis chapter 43. But before we begin our study of that chapter, we need to mention several things that we need to keep in mind. Actually, we need to keep in mind the entire story that we've covered up to this point, but there are several very important matters that we need to emphasize. In chapter 41, we find that God revealed through Pharaoh's dreams that there would be 7 years of plenty. Those 7 years would be followed by 7 years of famine. Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of storing up the grain for the 7 years of famine. Remember, it was Joseph who interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and he suggested that Pharaoh appoint a wise and discreet man to be in charge of storing up grain. Well, Pharaoh must have been a wise man because he realized he didn't need to look any further. Joseph was standing right there before him, and he put Joseph in charge of storing up the grain. Well, the famine finally began after the 7 years of plenty, and the effects of the famine were felt far and wide. All lands felt the effects of that great famine, including the land of Canaan. Remember, Canaan is where Jacob and his family lived. Jacob was Joseph's father. In chapter 42, it's revealed to us very clearly that Jacob and his family were affected by this famine in the land of Canaan. However, Jacob learned that grain was available in Egypt. So he sent 10 of his sons to go down to Egypt to purchase some grain. Now remember, Jacob had great flocks of animals. Those animals would have to be fed, and of course he had a large family. If you take into account his servants and so forth, we're talking about a lot of people. So it would be necessary for Jacob to purchase quite a bit of grain from Egypt. I've often wondered, why did he send so many of his sons down to take care of this? Well, they would need to be bringing a lot of grain back to Canaan. So Jacob sent 10 of his sons there to buy some grain. Now remember, he had 12 sons, but Joseph, Jacob thought, was dead at this point. Joseph was the number two leader in Egypt. And then Benjamin was very young. He did not send Benjamin. Now Jacob's sons went to Egypt, and they had to deal with Joseph because he was the one in charge of selling the grain. Now when Joseph's brothers appeared before him, he recognized them. But they did not recognize him. Well, as Joseph was talking to his brothers, he learned that Jacob was still alive, and he learned that his younger brother Benjamin was back home with Jacob. That's some information that Joseph was able to learn as a result of having a conversation with his brothers. Now remember, he spoke to them through an interpreter. By this time, no doubt Joseph was fluent in the Egyptian language, and there was an interpreter who would speak to Joseph's brothers in the Hebrew language. But Joseph accused his brothers of being spies. He came up with a plan for showing that they were, as he said, true men, he decided to keep Simeon in prison, and he sent the other brothers back to Canaan, and he told them to bring Benjamin with them back to Egypt. Well, when Joseph's brothers returned home, they told Jacob, their father, about everything that had happened, and Jacob refused to send Benjamin back to Egypt. He did not want anything to happen to his youngest son. Well, those are some things that we have to keep in mind as we study chapter 43. Now, we want to first look at verses 1 through 15, and we find that Jacob sent his sons back to Egypt. Let's first look at verses 1 and 2. And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. So the grain that had been purchased earlier was used up. At that point, Jacob told his sons to go back to Egypt and buy some more grain. Now remember, when the brothers had been there before, Joseph told them that they were not to come back unless they brought Benjamin with them. Well, Judah reminded Jacob of this. Let's first look at verses 3, 4, and 5. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And if thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. So Jacob's sons could only go back to Egypt if Benjamin was with them. We already know how Jacob felt about that. He did not want anything to happen to his youngest son. Seems that Jacob was a little bit frustrated, as we can certainly appreciate. He wanted to know why they had told Joseph about Benjamin. Verse 6, And Israel said, Wherefore dealt you so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, Certainly, or could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? So Jacob wanted to know why his boys had told Joseph about Benjamin. Well, they were just having a conversation with Joseph. Remember, he recognized them, but they did not recognize him. So they were just answering the questions that Joseph asked. And by doing so, he informed them that Jacob was alive in Canaan and that he had his youngest son with him. You can just imagine how Jacob was feeling about this point. Well, Judah spoke up and he agreed to be responsible for Benjamin. Verse 8. And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. So Judah spoke up, and he agreed to be responsible for Benjamin. Remember, Joseph had said, Don't you come back to Egypt unless your younger brother is with you. Well, Jacob was hesitant to send Benjamin, and we can certainly understand that. He told his other boys to go and buy some more grain after the first grain was used up. They said, We cannot go back unless Benjamin goes with us. Well, finally, Jacob agreed to let Benjamin go down to Egypt, verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the manna present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brethren, arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. You can't help but feel for Jacob at this point. His family's in a desperate way. There's a great famine. They need some food. Food is available in Egypt. They have to go there and purchase it, but they can only go if Benjamin goes with them. Jacob finally agreed to let Benjamin go. By the way, I think it's interesting, as we study about Judah, now he committed sin. We understand that. But remember who his great descendant would be. Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah. That tribe was named after this particular son of Jacob. And when you study Judah's behavior on certain occasions, you can't help but see a similarity between what he did and what Jesus would eventually do. Very interesting. Well, Jacob's sons went back to Egypt, and they took Benjamin with them, and they appeared before Joseph, verse 15. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Well, that's a very interesting situation that has developed. Jacob's sons appear before Joseph once again. Well, in the remainder of the chapter, we see that Joseph provided a meal for his brothers. You know, you would think that at least somebody might be just a little bit suspicious of what was taking place. But apparently they were not. But when the eating arrangements were made, only someone with intimate knowledge of the family could have made those arrangements. Let's notice what they were. In verses 16 and 17, Joseph gave instructions for his brothers to eat lunch with him. Verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. So Joseph gave instructions for lunch to be prepared for all of his brothers. Well, that's quite an invitation to go to Joseph's home to eat lunch. You can just imagine what was going through the minds of these men. We know that they have guilty consciences because of what happened earlier. They wondered why God was bringing all of this upon them, but they remembered the anguish that Joseph showed when they sold him to the Ishmaelites traveling down to Egypt. Verse 18, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses." And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, "O sir, We came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. The man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. Remember, they took some money the first time to purchase the grain, and on the way home they discovered that the money was put in the containers holding the grain. They're curious about how that happened. The man who was the steward said, I don't know anything about it. But they want to know what happened. You can just imagine all of the things running through their minds. How could all of this happen to us? But yet they remember how they had treated Joseph. Well, Joseph and his brothers had a meal together. But before they did, Joseph first asked about Jacob. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. Do you remember the dreams that Joseph had many years earlier? And he asked them of their welfare and said, Is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. So Joseph first wanted to know about the welfare of Jacob. Remember that Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. There was a close relationship between those two, and Joseph, of course, was concerned about the welfare of his father. Verse 29. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, Set on bread. When he had an opportunity to speak to Benjamin, all of these emotions just came out of Jacob at that point. He had to cry. He had to let those emotions out. But he couldn't do that in front of his brothers. So he left rather quickly. He had a cry. Then he washed his face. And then he returned to the meal. Now let's notice the eating arrangements. Verse 32. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him, by themselves. Now that's the arrangements that were made. Joseph ate by himself. His brothers ate by themselves. And the Egyptians who were present ate by themselves. Now we might wonder why. Well, Moses, the inspired writer, tells us why. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Remember, Joseph is a Hebrew, and they were aware of that. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. So the Egyptians ate by themselves, Joseph ate by himself, and the brothers ate by themselves. We understand from what's revealed to us why that took place. But notice that Joseph's brothers were seated according to their ages. Now, only someone with intimate knowledge of the family would be able to do that. But the youngest Benjamin was given a much larger portion than the others. And you have to keep in mind that Joseph and Benjamin had the same mother, Rachel. She passed away when Benjamin was born. So while he was half brothers with the other men, he was actually a full brother with Benjamin. Well, remember how the men felt earlier? As we come to the end of this chapter, we see that Joseph's brothers were on good terms with him, but they still didn't know who he was. And they drank and were merry with him. So while they had been somewhat anxious before, after having the meal together, they were merry. It seems that at least part of the burden was lifted off of their shoulders. But at this point, they still did not recognize Joseph. Well, that's chapter 43, and that information is preparing us for our study of chapter 44. Because as the saying goes, the plot thickens. It gets even more interesting. But we have to keep in mind that years earlier, God had said to Abraham that his descendants would spend 400 years in a foreign land. They would be servants. When the time was right, they'd be able to go and take the land of Canaan. That promise to Abraham is gradually being fulfilled. Now, it would still be many years before Abraham's descendants would go to Canaan, but the stage is being set for Abraham's family to go to that foreign land. I've tried to think about the situation that these brothers were in over the years, and try to appreciate what was going through their minds. But I tell you, a guilty conscience is a curse. And how grateful we need to be that the Lord's made it possible for us to have clear consciences. I don't want to get too far ahead, but even after Joseph forgave his brothers, and after they were settled in Egypt, they still had their guilty consciences. They were afraid of what Joseph was going to do to them concerning getting even with them. Joseph was a remarkable man. I've heard some criticize him for the way that he dealt with his brothers. Well, I'll tell you this, he didn't give them what they deserved. But things are falling into place for Joseph's family to come down to Egypt. There would be about 70 of them, and they would develop into a mighty nation of people.